Hello and welcome to the Michael Slate Show. I'm your host. My name is Sansara Taylor, and I'm speaking to you now at a time when humanity is at a crossroads. A genocide is being carried out in Gaza. 10,000 killed in less than a month. This is a horrific crime against humanity. It is a war crime, and it is being carried out by the settler colonial state of Israel with full backing, militarily, financially, and quote-unquote morally, by the United States. Biden, as well as the Republicans, even as they're on the brink of civil war with each other, they are united behind this slaughter of Gazans by Israel. And all the international structures and institutions around the world, or many of them, have condemned this crime, perhaps the ultimate crime against humanity, yet it continues day by day, minute by minute, against children. Thousands of children blown to bits, and against every institution of Palestinian society, universities, hospitals, schools, the Zionist Israeli army, made and backed by the United States of America, has made their criminal intentions clear. And although there have been a few brave voices against this slaughter, nearly in the entire U.S. political establishment, the heads of universities, organs of mass media, and such, are equally guilty of the crime of complicity with this genocide. Growing millions around the world, the decent people have taken to the streets, have disrupted the arms merchants, have put their own freedom and futures on the line. They have earned all the praise that has been given to them. But it must be said that we need, and the only way to solve the genocide and the horrific conditions that have been faced by the Palestinian people for 75 years, is through an actual revolution that overthrows the system of imperialism, which is what is backing Israel for this entire 75 years. We need a real revolution, and growing numbers of people who really want to see justice need to learn about and take up the fight for an actual revolution. Many in this country, and certainly around the world, have not heard about the revolution or the revolutionary leader, Bob Avakian, who has authored The New Communism, which is a roadmap for human emancipation. And that is true across this country among those who are catching the worst hell as well. This is something that needs to become known. So today's show, today's Michael Slate Show, comes on the heels of a special week called the Revolution Nothing Less Week, which was a week for mobilizations across the country to make a real advance in putting this revolution on the map, making it known, getting it seen by many, many people throughout society. So today I'm going to be sharing with you several segments that feature Bob Avakian, beginning with a piece from the Bob Avakian interviews available at the YouTube channel, youtube.com/therevcoms, where he speaks to the question, what is a real revolution? Then we'll hear a commentary that I did recently on the genocide unfolding in Gaza, and I will put a special focus on those around the world who've been speaking and acting against this, often at great personal cost, and in particular, the Jewish voices who have been boldly declaring, not in our names, never again. I'll share with you an excerpt from the talk that Bob Avakian gave up at Riverside Church in 2014 during a dialogue he held with Cornel West on the right way and the wrong way to understand never again. And then I'll share an interview that I did on the Revolution Nothing Less show with Annie Day about the Revolution Nothing Less week. And this will bleed into another excerpt from the Bob Avakian interviews where he talks about some of his own personal development and the impact that Black people and Black culture has had on him. Finally, Andy Z, the host of the Revolution Nothing Less show, will speak with Joe Veal, a longtime revolutionary, on the code for the revolution, the points of attention. And this includes a reading of these points of attention that people should live by, fight for, and that concentrate a liberating society that a revolution could bring about, as well as the fight and the road today to get there. So with that, let's dive in. This is Bob Avakian addressing the question, what is a real revolution? So you've dedicated your whole life over decades to making revolution and emancipating humanity. And I want to talk about revolution. It's a word that people throw around all the time. And people mean radically, very wildly different things when they use it. What is a real revolution, and why is that necessary?
Well, it's not a new variation of Charmin toilet paper, okay? That's the first thing we can say. You know, it's not a change just in the culture, to be more serious. It means that you actually overthrow the existing system and replace it with a different system. That's what an actual revolution is. And yes, you know, there's a lot of confusion. A lot of people, I remember, you know, after the, I think it was Parkland shooting, you know, there was big rallies that were held, and one of the students from there, you know, got up to speak one of these big rallies, and the first thing he said was, "Welcome to the revolution," because there were, you know, large numbers, masses of people there. Well, masses of people are one important ingredient of a revolution. You don't make a revolution with a handful of people. You need, you know, millions of people ultimately to make a revolution. But the question is, what are those people fighting for? What are they aiming for? Are they aiming just to make changes within the existing system, or are they actually recognizing that you cannot bring about the positive resolution of all these different horrors that exist in this country, and we could go through them, but in the world as a whole? You know, you cannot bring about a positive resolution to that, an elimination of all that, within the confines of this system. That is another scientifically determined, evidence-based truth. And so therefore, a revolution means that you overthrow this system in order to, you know, bring into being a completely different foundation in how the economy functions, different relations among people that are not oppressive, a different culture that, instead of reinforcing all this garbage and oppression, actually reinforces emancipating relations among people and emancipating ideas among people, you know, and all the political structures also are transformed in order to serve the further transformation of society, to uproot all the underlying basis for all this exploitation and oppression. That's a revolution. Nothing short of that is an actual revolution.
That was Bob Avakian speaking to What is a Real Revolution from the Bob Avakian interviews. Next, we'll go to a commentary that I did on the genocide unfolding in Gaza and the growing resistance to it. This ends with Bob Avakian speaking at Riverside Church on the right way and the wrong way to understand never again. On October 9th, 2 days after Hamas's attack on Israel that included the reactionary targeting of civilians by Hamas, Israel's defense minister, Yoav Gallant, declared, "I have ordered a complete siege on the Gaza Strip. There will be no electricity, no food, no fuel. Everything is closed." Unless anyone missed the genocidal intent, he went on to speak of Palestinians in the same dehumanizing language that the Nazis used to describe the Jews they carried out a genocide against during the Holocaust of the 1940s. Gallant said, quote, "We are fighting human animals, and we are acting accordingly. As we film, nearly 9,000 Palestinians have been killed in the Gaza Strip. 3,648 of these deaths are children. The Israeli military has launched more than 7,000 airstrikes and massive artillery bombardments on this tiny strip that is one of the most densely populated areas on planet Earth. Over 50 people were killed on Tuesday when Israel bombed the Jabalia refugee camp. The United Nations has reported that basic services across Gaza are crumbling. Medicine is running out. Food and water are running out. The streets of Gaza have started overflowing with sewage. Gaza is on the brink of a massive health hazard, and the risk of diseases are looming. This massive crime against humanity must be stopped. So we here at the RNL, the Revolution Nothing Less show, salute those around the world who have been speaking and acting against this, often at great personal cost. And in particular, we want to lift up the Jewish voices who have declared, not in our names. Last weekend, members of the Jewish community overwhelmed Grand Central Station in New York City. They climbed up on its fixtures. 400 of them got arrested. Here are some of their voices as captured in interviews done by Amy Goodman on Democracy Now.
My name is Roslyn Pacheski. I'm here with maybe 1,000 others, a lot of us Jews, but we are here to protest the genocide that is happening in our name. It has to stop. We are crying every minute. A dear friend, Mohammed, with his little family in Gaza. He almost got blown up today. We can't let this go on. injustice and the right to live for everyone. But Palestinians have been the victims of oppression for 75 years, and it has to stop.
Never again for anyone!
Never again for anyone!
Never again is no!
Never again is no!
I'm here to support the people of Gaza, the people who are currently experiencing a genocide. It's disgusting that our government has enabled this.
Arrest me because I have a cane. They won't arrest me. I want to get arrested. They're refusing.
Yes, I want to get arrested.
All right, well, okay. Why are you getting arrested?
I was born in a refugee camp in the Philippines. I'm Vietnamese. I am a child of imperialism. I can't see it go on. I can't see it continue.
My name is Jane Hirschman. I'm here because my family survived the Holocaust, but many did not. My parents were Holocaust survivors. And there's one thing I learned. Never again means never again for anyone. We don't condone this. And Netanyahu better stop the bombing of Gaza. You know, this didn't start with Hamas. This started in 1948, when 750,000 Palestinians were removed from where they lived in order to set up a Jewish state. So this, and these people that they're killing in Gaza, they were moved to Gaza because of the 1948 Nakba, which means catastrophe. And now they're going to eliminate them, kill them, or move them somewhere else. And it's got to stop. And Jews, American Jews, have to step up and say, not in our name, not with our tax money. You cannot do this kind of genocide in front of our eyes or ever again.
Why, are you getting arrested?
Oh, yeah.
What you just heard from that last protester, Jane Hirschman, were powerful truths about the state of Israel and a powerful moral example for all of us. Here is another powerful truth that must be understood and acted upon by all who seek justice. Israel could not do what it is doing. In fact, it wouldn't likely last a week without the backing of the United States, militarily, economically, and with its so-called moral weight. And this backing is not owing to some supposedly all-powerful Jewish lobby. It is because Israel is an armed enforcer for U.S. domination in the Middle East. And this domination is required by the system of capitalism imperialism that is the foundation and the determining force in U.S. society. This system requires the domination and the ruthless exploitation of the peoples and nations of Asia, Latin America, Africa, and the Middle East to even keep going. This system requires a powerful military to fight other empires or would-be empires over who will be number one. And the U.S.'s special relationship to its pit bull Israel means a tremendous advantage for the United States in a strategic part of the world, one with massive oil reserves that also lies at the crossroads of Africa, Asia, and Europe. This is why, today, even as the Democrats and the outright fascist Republicans are on the verge of a civil war with each other within this country, both of these parties are unwavering in their cutthroat support for the state of Israel.
We stand with Israel.
Israel's at war, and the United States has to support Israel. We have to support Israel.
We have your back.
Level the place.
Finish them.
We stand with Israel.
There's been no better president for Israel than me.
It is crucially important for everyone to get out in the streets to demand an end to this genocide. At the same time, if you really want the people of Palestine and the people across the Middle East and around the world to stand tall and to breathe free, to really flourish, then you have to be about the destruction of this system of capitalism imperialism through a real revolution here and all over the world. And living as we do inside the United States, the country that is the number one oppressor in the world, we have a special responsibility to make this revolution. And in place of this system, to establish the radically different, emancipating system and society that is laid out in the Constitution for the new socialist republic in North America, written by Bob Avakian. The need for this revolution must be spread, it must be fought for, and it needs to be taken up by growing numbers of people now. The real choice we have is not between the bourgeois electoral bullshit of Biden or Trump, Democrat or Republican. The real choice is between staying within the confines of this imperialist system, with all the horror it brings, or breaking those chains once and for all through making a real revolution. In a few minutes, I will talk with Annie Day about ways for you to step into this revolution now, even as you are learning about it. But first, we want to share with you a very powerful selection from the 2014 talk that Bob Avakian gave at Riverside Church as part of his dialogue with Cornel West on revolution and religion. In this, he speaks to the right way and the wrong way to understand the meaning of never again. And we're going to start the tape just a little bit before he gets to that, so you can see how the same principles apply even more broadly today. Let's watch.
Now, many people, I've had many conversations with people where they say, I need religion just to keep from going off. And I was thinking of a discussion that was held recently with a black youth in Chicago that our party is working closely with. And they got into this question of religion, and he said, look, a lot of your arguments are good, but if I didn't have my religion, if I didn't have my belief in God, I would just go try and kill all the white people. Well, if you're looking to me to defend the way too many white people think and act too much at a time, you are looking in the wrong place. But there are problems with the idea of just taking revenge on those who've had a more privileged position. So you have black people and other people of color kill off all the white people. Then I guess all the women kill off all the men. Then all the gay people kill off all the straight people. And we keep going till I don't know who's left. But besides that obvious problem, there's another problem. If you kill all the white people and you still have the same system, you're going to have the horrible situation where a lot of black people start acting like white people. Why? Because you're dealing with a system, and the system shapes things in a certain way. It has certain rules to how it operates, certain dynamics, you could say. And people will be fitted into places and act accordingly as long as you have that system. And the bigger problem, the deeper problem with this whole idea is that we want to get to a world where there are no people who are up and other people who are down, where there are no people who are ruled and other people who are ruled over. Revenge might taste sweet for a minute, but it will not lead to a world in which we just keep going through the same cycle that these ones are up and those are down and those are down want to get on with those who are up so then they can put them down and we keep the whole cycle going. No. We want to get beyond all that. That's what we have to be about. And there's a very important example, negatively, that we should all learn from in the state of Israel. The experience of Jewish people throughout centuries in Europe and other places of being bitterly discriminated against and viciously persecuted for centuries, and then under the rule of the Nazis during the time of World War II, being literally exterminated, with 6 million annihilated by the Nazis, certainly ranks at the very top in the whole history of crimes against humanity. But in response to this, among Jewish people, including those who survived that Holocaust, there have been two different and opposite responses. One is never again. Never again must this happen to any people, anywhere. But the other is, because of what has been done to our people, anything we do from now on is justified. And so you find them founding the state of Israel on the basis of bloodthirsty ethnic cleansing of the Palestinian people who lived there, which is now reaching genocidal proportions. No. Our answer has to be the first. Never again shall this happen to any people, anywhere. We need to move to a world beyond all that.
I'm very happy to welcome Annie Day to talk with me a little bit about this week. Hi, Annie.
Hey, I'm glad to be here.
So tell us briefly, what is the mission of this week?
The mission of this week is to make this revolution known and to organize masses of people, including you, into this revolution. Because things are coming to a head in the society. I mean, we just watched a horror unfold in Gaza. You were just talking about it. And people don't know that the problem at the root that's causing that is a system of capitalism, imperialism. And they don't know that there's a way out, the potential for an actual revolution. And they don't know that there's a whole different way the world could be. That we don't have to live in a world where we're watching a genocide unfold in our phones. Phones that are driven by minerals mined by children in the Congo. This is insanity that we're putting up with this nightmare of a world when we actually could live a whole different way where you know, the masses of people could have a fundamental right and responsibility in determining the direction of society in the direction of human emancipation. That is possible. And the time now is for forces to get organized, to come together, and to get ready for the time when we could go all out to tear this system down and bring a whole new world into being. And so the mission of this week is to put this on the map, to make this known, to challenge people and to organize you and many others into this.
A lot of people, when the Rev comes and others are out spreading the revolution, people who are favorable, people for whom this message resonates, maybe because of the police murder after murder that they see, because of the way women's right to abortion is ripped away, because of their sense of the destruction of the climate that is looming and threatening human existence, or any of the other crimes, including the ones you were just speaking of this system. And they say, okay, you got my ear for a second, but I'm not sure I want to step in right now. I want to look into it more. I got to learn more. What do you say to people like that?
Well, I would say to you, look, mother, your house is on fire. And what you've just told me is I'm going to go sit in the living room of a burning house and read about how to look into how to put the fire out? No, you have to get with this revolution. Pick up a bucket, fill it with water, join us in putting out the fire, and then we're going to learn more about how to put out those fires as we go. This is the situation we're in right now. We are 1 year away from the 2024 election, where what is being put on offer here is a fascist force of millions, open white supremacists, male supremacists, theocrats, who have already said they will not respect elections they lose, facing off against who? War criminal Democrats with the blood of the masses of people dripping from their fangs, aggressively facing off with Russia and China, aggressively pursuing this war on the people of Gaza, backing Israel to the hilt. These are not the choices that humanity should have to face, and they have to know, and we have to be a contending force that's actually going for a whole different way the world could be and contending for actual revolution. And right now, what is urgently needed is to build up the forces that actually can have a say in the direction of society as things are coming to a head. And that need is now, because the time is coming soon. So yes, you need to learn more about it, but you have to learn more about it while you're in here fighting for it, because there's no neutral in the world right now. The direction of the future of humanity is being fought out. And the question is, where are you going to stand in relationship to that?
Yeah, and we will hear more from Joe Veal talking with Andy in just a few minutes. Before that, we're going to share a further excerpt from the Bob Avakian interviews. It's going to be a question I asked him about the particularly shaping impact that Black people and Black culture had on his life and development, including his development as a revolutionary. And it'll be a chance for you watching to get to know him and his development more deeply. But I wanted to ask you one question about this before we go to that, which is spreading the word about Bob Avakian, fighting for him to become known, his work and leadership to be engaged and followed, is a big, big part of putting this revolution on the map and accelerating and increasing our chances to wrench out a liberating revolution that can change and really liberate all of humanity. Can you talk just a little bit more about why these interviews from Bob Avakian and why BA as a whole is so central and important to this revolution?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think people have to really appreciate that there's never been a leader like Bob Avakian in this country before. And there is no other leader in the world right now in terms of who he is, the role he's playing, and the work he's done. There is a strategy for revolution for real in this country because of the work that Bob Avakian has done. There is a framework for human emancipation that is building on the first stage of communist revolution and solves huge problems in how to traverse the struggle to get all the way free. That's concentrated in the work that Bob Avakian has done in the Constitution for the New Socialist Republic in North America that he has written. And the fact is that he embodies a whole road to, you know, to get all the way free. This is somebody who, when he came to recognize the need for revolution, he never backed up off of that. Determined and hardcore for revolution for real. But he's managed to maintain his tremendous sense of curiosity, his desire to learn everything he can about the world and its transformation and human, you know, and art and awe and wonder. He's never lost his connection to the most oppressed and his recognition. And look, I just, you know, it's hard to see all the needless suffering and to not want to turn away. And not only has Bob Avakian never turned away from recognizing and understanding the needless suffering that masses of people are going through, but he's also never turned away from his recognition of his responsibility to struggle with them, to play the role that they can play in being a backbone force for all the way revolution, because he has enough respect for the masses of oppressed people to recognize that they're not just victims, but they're potential emancipators of humanity. And this is then with maintaining all the, yes, sense of humor and sense of hope. We really can't fail to appreciate what a powerful strength that it is that we have this leader today that's leading this revolution. And people have to know this. And if you're seeing Bob Avakian for the first time, spread this to others. And if you're somebody who's been a follower of Bob Avakian for some time, then we have to go fight with people. We have to go on the offensive about this, up against all the bullshit ideas of, oh, I don't want to be led by nobody. I don't want anybody to tell me what to do. The illusion you're not being told what to do all the fucking time. But look, we have to go up against all the reformism, all the tired cynicism, and fight with people about who BA is, what he represents, to actually fight with people to engage the content of his work, and yes, to become followers of him and of the new communism, and to take it up themselves and apply this framework to the huge problems we face in getting this beast of a system off our backs and off the backs of the people of the world.
All right, Annie Day, I want to thank you so much for making the time to come and talk with us here today on the Revolution Nothing Less show.
Thank you.
And with that, I think we are going to go straight now to an excerpt from the Bob Avakian interviews that Annie was just speaking so movingly about. One thing that really stands out, you've written about and spoken about many times, is that you consider the people of the world, of all nationalities and genders, to be your people. And within that, it really stands out in reading your memoir and reading your other works that Black people in particular and Black culture have played a very important and lasting role in shaping who you are and your ongoing personal and political development from a very young age and over the course of many decades. At the same time, you've never hesitated to struggle with Black people or to call out elements of Black culture if you see them as an obstacle to getting Black people and humanity free. Could you talk a little bit about both sides of that, both the lasting impact that Black people and Black culture have had on shaping who you are, and on why you feel the need to call out bullshit when you see it in the ways that I described?
Yeah, I mean, well, we can go back to, like, bigger things going on in the society, some of the things I mentioned, you know, with the changes after World War II, in this position of Black people, a lot moving to the North, you know, not being chained in quite the same relations of sharecropping as, you know, poor farmers in the South under the domination of big landowners and the Ku Klux Klan and all that with, you know, essentially no rights, to a situation which they came into the urban areas and still being discriminated against, segregated, oppressed, brutalized, but also, you know, being in larger numbers together rather than being scattered out, you know, across the countryside. And also changes going on in the world where the U.S. is in competition with the Soviet Union, you know, to try to attract all these emerging countries in the third world, for example. And it doesn't look so good if you go around and say, we're the great, you know, we're the leader of the free world, we're the greatest democracy in the world, but we got black people in America in a situation as bad or worse as South Africa. It doesn't go over so well. So they had to make some concessions. And as a result of, and then you had these veterans, black people who were in World War II, and they came back and said, well, you know, we were told we're fighting for democracy, a bunch of us died, a bunch of us got wounded, you know, we went through all this hell, and now they want us to come back and be second-class citizens. Bullshit. We're not putting up with that anymore. So you've got all these things coming together. And it got reflected as in the culture. By the mid-50s, you had, you know, what's sometimes called doo-wop or vocal music, or in the time it was called, you know, rhythm and blues, which is different than the R&B of now, you know. And this had a great influence, not just on me, which it did, but on, you know, millions of middle-class white youth, you know, who were drawn to this culture. And I know in my own personal experience, when I was 13, my older sister was listening to some of this nonsense music, just really boring music that I was listening to. And she came to me and she said, if you want to really listen to some good music, you got to listen to KWBR, which was the black radio station in Oakland. And it was kind of improbable because, you know, she went to the same junior high I did, which was almost all white. And, you know, they had a yearbook for the graduating seniors. And in her class, When they had all these things, you know, you're familiar with this, you know, most likely to do this and that and so on, and favorite movie, and then they had favorite song. Well, now, she graduated, you know, in the 50s from junior high school, an almost all-white junior high school, and her senior class voted their favorite song, a song called WPLJ, which stood for White Port and Lemon Juice. WPLJ, it really tastes good to me. Oh, WPLJ, it really tastes good to me. Well, I went to the store, I opened up the door, I said, please, 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 give me some more white port and lemon juice. Oh, well, it's good to me, good to me, good, etc. So that was the song that they voted, and that's kind of highly improbable, right? But this would have reflected the changing times and circumstances, you know. And then, so then she told me, go listen to KWBR. So I listened to KWBR. Man, I love this music, you know. And then I started, you know, like me and some friends of mine, about 6 months later, we went on like a holy pilgrimage down to Oakland to KWBR, you know. It was just an old warehouse, you know, and we walked through the building and we could see the disc jockeys, and it was like a religious experience, you know, like, you know, it's like just so inspiring, you know, just to be in the presence of where this music was being broadcast. And, you know, and there was a record store in Berkeley where I grew up called Reed's Records. It was down on Sacramento Street, which was the heart of the ghetto. And yes, there was a ghetto, and it is a ghetto in Berkeley. And I took the bus. I got on the bus and where I lived in the Berkeley Hills. And I took the bus down to Sacramento Street and went into Reed's Record, and it went around. It's like, wow. Look at all these R&B records here. And I bought a record, you know, but it was like a religious experience again. So, you know, this introduced me to this culture, and I loved it. You know, there was just something that was like liberating about it. And it was reflecting what was going on with black people and the struggle they were, you know, waging in the civil rights movement and the militancy that was beginning to develop. And then, like I said earlier, you know, because I was playing sports and also, you know, I was in the Glee Club in high school, and there were a lot of black people in the Glee Club. So, you know, because of these things, I got to know a lot of people as friends. And so, you know, this made me aware of, like, you know, I, you know how it is. I mean, you care about your friends. You know, this is you. You know, and I could see what they were being put through. All the, you know, Just horrible things. Like one of my best friends in high school, you know, had a crush on this white girl. And he finally worked up his courage to ask her out. And she said, you know, and I don't even blame her, but, you know, just think how terrible this is. She said, well, you know, I'd like to go out with you, but, you know, my mom and my dad and my friends. And it was, I could just see the life go out of my friend. You know, and this is just a, maybe it seemed like a small thing, but it captured something mm-hmm. much bigger. And, you know, so this all had an influence on me. And I, you know, I did, as I've said, I came to the point of saying, these are my people. Not that I thought I was the same as them in a literal sense, or that I'd had the same life experiences, but that this is where, you know, this is where I felt at home. And still to this day, this is where I feel most at home. And, you know, but then, you know, as I became more politically conscious, I was aware of much bigger things. You know, I was aware of other people who were going through the same kind of things in this country and then around the world. And, you know, that's when I came to see, well, you know, this is the same kind of oppression. It might be, you know, it might take different particular forms, but it's the same kind of horrors that people are being put through. And this is just, you know, because of the way this had influenced me, this was intolerable to me.
Next, we'll hear Andy Z, the host of the Revolution Nothing Less show, speaking with Joe Beal, a longtime revolutionary, on the code for the revolution, the points of attention.
As we heard earlier today from Sansara Taylor and Annie Day, today's program comes in the middle of a week where the RevComs around the country are working with people to put revolution on the map, to make known what it's all about, and to organize people into the revolution, to help spread and support the revolution, and to join with RevComs in standing up against the attacks against the people, whether from the government's forces of repression or from the fascist thugs. And we have a guide to this revolution, a strategic orientation and practical plan. And strategic orientation simply means the way that we can achieve the objectives and the goals of this revolution to emancipate all of humanity. This piece on RevCom.us is a guide that says this, quote, "We are working every day to win growing numbers of people to understand the urgent need and the possibility for revolution and to become an organized force that can shake up the whole country, waking people up and changing the way they think about things, working continually to gather forces and build up the organized strength of the revolution, working to powerfully impact the development of things in such a way that a situation can come about where there could be an all-out fight for revolution with a real chance to win." So now I want to welcome Joe Veal, a frequent guest to the RNL show, a longtime revolutionary. Joe was a rank-and-file member of the Black Panther Party, and after a stint in prison, he became a revolutionary communist and a follower of the revolutionary leader Bob Avakian. And today, Joe plays an active role in promoting Bob Avakian's leadership and the new communism. And we invited Joe to the RNL show studio today to talk about the points of attention for the revolution. So welcome, Joe Veal.
Thank you. I'm really happy to be here.
Okay, good, good, good. I know you have a lot to say about the points of attention, about what we live by in the revolution, what we fight for today, and how they concentrate the kind of relationships between people in the new society that the revolution's going to bring about. But before we get into a conversation about what these points say and what they're all about, let's actually listen to a reading of the 6 points of attention.
Points of attention for the revolution. Live by and fight for the points of attention. The code of the revolution. 1. We base ourselves on and strive to represent the highest interest of humanity, revolution and communism. We do not tolerate using the revolution for personal gain. 2. We fight for a world where all the chains are broken. Women, men, and differently gendered people are equals and comrades. We do not tolerate physically or verbally abusing women or treating them as sexual objects, nor do we tolerate insults or jokes about people's gender or sexual orientation. 3. We fight for a world without borders and for equality among different peoples, cultures, and languages. We do not tolerate insults, jokes, or derogatory names about a person's race, nationality, or language. 4. We stand with the most oppressed and never lose sight of their potential to emancipate humanity, nor of our responsibility to lead them to do that. We work to win people of all backgrounds to take part in the revolution and do not tolerate revenge among the people. 5. We search for and fight for the truth, no matter how unpopular, even as we listen to and learn from the observations, insights, and criticisms of others. 6. We are going for an actual overthrow of this system and a whole better way beyond the destructive, vicious conflicts of today between the people. Because we are serious, at this stage, we do not initiate violence, and we oppose all violence against the people and among the people.
All right, so Joe, so let's get into these. How do you see it?
I see these, it's critical, it's very important, the points of attention for the revolution. Points to live by, fight for these points of attention. The code is the code of the revolution. And, you know, and people see, you know, you developing a force, leading a force out in society that's based on these codes of attention, which represent a whole new way of living, which represents what the revolution is all about, the emancipation of humanity. And people are representing like that, like today, and fighting the power, standing up against the power, and transforming themselves and others for revolution. This has a tremendous impact on helping to develop the situation, and one that is more fully developed to be able to go for revolution and go for a whole new society. And so we base ourselves on these points of attention, and we strive to represent the highest interests of humanity, which is revolution and communism. And we do not take, you know, use the revolution for any personal gain, for me, my, get mine, whatever like this here. This is about something much bigger, much more fundamental. It's about humanity and a humanity getting free from the bullshit that we, the madness of this capitalist imperialist system here and all over the world. That's a very big deal, you know. And I think back, you know, it's not the same thing, but I think, but there are lessons to learn. And, you know, when I think back to, you know, seeing the Panthers, the Black Panther Party out there, they had their codes of that they lived by, and they were a disciplined, organized force that were out there standing up against, especially the police murder, brutality against Black people. And they did it in a very organized and disciplined way. They were in uniform. And they were, you know, and they moved together, you know. And they looked out for each other, and they looked out for the masses and stuff. And you saw this. This had a big impact on you, because you never seen something like this here before. You know, what is this about? What do they represent? You know, what do they understand that I don't understand, but what I need to understand? It challenged you and it inspired you in that way. But, you know, and so that was, you know, that was really like powerful and impactful. Just seeing that, witnessing that, it was really electrifying. It lit up the sky. Hey, there's something it's new here. There's a new authority. It's on the scene. And it was a revolutionary authority on the scene. And today we got something way beyond anything the Panthers had, with these cold, with the points of attention and with the leadership of Bob Avakian. We never had anything
like this here before, on this level, with this understanding, is so thoroughly scientific about the whole revolutionary process from beginning to end, and being able to see it and guide it all the way like through. It's never has been. We had leaders before, but we never had a leader like Bob Avakian. This is really historic. It's epic in this society. And you know, there's only been a few like him in the world history. And we got him now here today with us, leading us. And that these points of attention is based on that vision and that understanding that has been developed by Bob Avakian.
I think it's important, Joe. You know, let's talk about two of these or pick one of them, but I just think this fourth point of attention, we stand with the most oppressed and never lose sight of their potential to emancipate humanity, nor our responsibility to lead them to do that. We work to win people of all backgrounds to take part in the revolution and do not tolerate revenge among the people. This is part of that newness that you were talking about.
This is way beyond anything that has existed like before. But this is it's challenging, but it's also inspiring, because people cannot on their own emancipate and liberate like themselves. It takes leadership. On their own, people will go for revenge. You know, you see it, you know, it was really inspiring when you see, like, you know, youth caught up like in the game like that. And they try to, you know, they try to do like truce. They try to like come together because they aspire for something better, for something different and stuff. But they aspire on the same principles, the same points of attention, so to say, that come from this system, where they try to, you know, become like entrepreneurs or whatever, get some business like going. Well, you're going to have to end up, if you are successful, you're going to have to end up exploiting, using some other like people in order for you like to get ahead. Or if you are like, you know, or, you know, especially like, you know, some youth caught up all into their identity, my truth, I got my truth, you got like your truth. And then all that, what does that like lead to you like opposing, trying to impose what you like think on the rest of society and your experience, and make everybody bow down and go along with that. That's just another form of revenge, of the last shall be first and the first shall be like last, and instead of like uprooting, getting to the roots of oppression, getting to the roots of it and being able to uproot it and eliminate it and overthrow it. And that's really like the key thing.
Joe, when we started talking, you spoke about point of attention number one, and the point of we do not tolerate using the revolution for personal gain. And when we were chatting before we began filming, you told a story about how you had to confront that in your experience in getting into the Black Panther Party. And a lot of the crew found that like, whoa, that's a pretty good story. So maybe you could just tell that again for our audience.
Yeah, well, you know, at that time, the Black Panther Party, they had that, you know, these points of attention that they got from Mao and stuff. And one of them was
Mao Zedong,
right? Leader of the Communist Revolution in China. And, you know, I just remember, you know, very vividly, because they, you know, they were, you know, presenting them to me. One of them said, do not take anything from the masses, not even a needle or a piece of thread. And I just remember responding to them that it's no way that I'm, you know, going to be part of anything about that, because the only thing I will not take from the masses is a needle or a piece of thread and shit. But that didn't, you know, so there was a big struggle, like, for me to rupture. I had to change how I was, you know, because they didn't stop. The Panthers didn't, like, stop. They still, you know, they continue like out there, you know, representing in that way and stuff. And, you know, and they were putting their lives on the line for that, you know, and that's what they were saying. The revolution was about serving the people and stuff. And through a lot of like struggle, you know, and then seeing them like out there, how serious they were about that. And they really were an organized force that was, you know, beginning to grow with that. You know, it made me, you know, stop and think and question about what I was doing with my life in comparison to what they was like doing. That it was something that they understood that I needed to understand. I needed to change what the f*** I was like doing and stuff, because I could like see in comparison like to them what I was like doing was just, you know, going along and basically like just reinforcing relations amongst people that were very destructive and harmful to people being able to make revolution and get free from all the oppression and shit. And so, you know, that was a struggle. That was a leap. That was a change that I had to like make. You know, I had to make it not just once. I had to repeatedly make it, because it comes up. It came up again and again and again. As I leaped, as I changed once, I had to change even like further and stuff. I had to continue that to finally, you know, when I ran into B.A., Bob Avakian in prison and stuff, and I seen how, you know, how he approached revolution, how scientific and how systematic he was about it. Then that's when I made the final rupture with that way like of thinking and shit like that. Because up until that point, I was still kind of conflicted. Even though I wanted revolution, I still wanted to rip off some motherfuckers like too. The way I was like looking at like things and stuff. So,
following up on that, Joe, I want to play a clip from the film by Bob Avakian, Why We Need an Actual Revolution and How We Could Really Make Revolution, where he's speaking about the gangs. Let's watch this.
It has been raised that when How We Can Win insists that the authority people look to cannot be those who turn people against each other when they need to be uniting for this revolution, it is talking about gangs, among others. Well, in making this revolution, we are not going out to make an enemy out of the gangs. We are working to win people to revolution and to build up the forces for this revolution in line with what is concentrated in the points of attention for the revolution, to put an end to everything that enslaves and degrades people, including all the conditions that have led to the creation of gangs in the first place, and the situation where so many of our youth are fighting and killing each other, and let everyone decide where they stand in relation to this revolution that we are working for. But we need to struggle hard against the way of thinking that says it's everybody for themselves, and you got to do what you got to do to get over on everybody else and get big bank and have lots of property, including turning women into property. All of this is just an imitation of the outlook of the oppressor, and it is a big part of what has kept masses of people oppressed and degraded for so long. Once again, all played out calls this shit out. I got my mind on my money and my money on my mind. That craziness about being like Scarface, acting without a trace of humanity, plundering and violating without remorse, killing and dying for no good purpose. Give it up, it's
all played out.
In thinking about people who've gotten into the life, often from a very early age, I'm reminded of the lines in a song from back in the day by the R&B group The Whispers. Seems like I gotta do wrong, gotta do wrong, gotta do wrong before they notice me. Well, they.
So, Joe, I think that's really spot on in terms of the kind of force we're trying to build out in the neighborhoods and all through society, with these points of attention as a modeling a different way to live and a different future to fight for.
Yeah, and in doing that, I don't think we can't give any quarter to this bullshit about, you know, about me. I got to get paid. I got to get my mind. You know, degrading women. You know, all the misogyny, the hatred like of women and using women, turning everything into property and like this here and justifying it that, you know, I'm just trying to like come up. I'm just trying to get over whatever. We need like a force for revolution, nothing less. A force that's out there in contention with everything else, that everybody has to relate to this. This is about revolution. This is about overthrowing this monster of a system. This is about bringing about a whole different, a whole new system where people relate to each other in a whole different like ways and without all that dog eat dog, without dogging each other like out and giving no quarter to anything else, not being liberal, not going along with that. It has no place in the revolution. It does no good in terms of helping to strengthen, to build up the forces for revolution. Actually, it hurts to weaken. If we bow down to that, then we weaken in like revolution. But if you have a force that's out here that everybody has to relate to, that's about this, about these points of attention and nothing else, then that changes, that challenges everybody. Everybody has to take notice. Everybody has to decide how are they going to relate to this and nothing else. How each and every, even the people that's caught up in the bullshit today have to do like what I did. Begin like to question like that and say, what the am I like doing this? This is harmful to the masses of people, harmful to them being able to get emancipated. I need to do something else with my life, and I can, because I see these people out here organizing and representing in this way.
All right. So, Joe, you said that, and now let's go.
That was Joe Veal being interviewed by Andy Z, speaking about the points of attention for the revolution and his experience becoming a revolutionary, working with the Black Panther Party, encountering the leadership of Bob Avakian, and much more. You can find those points of attention at revcom.us. And this brings us to the end of another episode of The Michael Slate Show. I want to thank you for spending the hour with me or any portion of it. I want to thank Henry Carson, the assistant producer of The Michael Slate Show. We send our love, as always, to Michael Slate. And I want to remind you that the problem is not human nature. It is the nature of the system. Through a real revolution, a better world is possible. I'll talk to you next week.